The Texas Forest Service of A&M College brings you the story of Texas Oil. It was in the year 1867 that two men, Emory Starr and Peyton Edwards, were on a hunting trip in Nacogdoches County, about 15 miles southeast of the town of Nacogdoches.
I guess I'll have to agree with you, Peyton. We haven't been very lucky today, that's for sure. I certainly hope we find a little something to shoot at tomorrow. Our trip's going to be kind of a failure as far as hunting goes.
Yeah, and we didn't do too good a job picking a place to camp for the night either. Look how the water is in this stream. Seems to have a coat of grease of oil floating on it.
Yeah, it sure does. Wonder what causes that.
I can't figure it out. There doesn't seem to be any oil above or below here.
You suppose it's oil seeping out of the ground here?
It might be. I haven't heard of any oil being found much down here in Texas. Of course, they've been getting it out of wells up there in Pennsylvania, or so I hear.
You know what I think I'll do? I think I'll dig a few holes right around here in the ground tonight. I'd just like to see if any oil seeps into them by morning.
You go ahead, and while you are doing that, I'm going to rustle up some food for us. Hand me over that coffee pot, will you? Hey, Emory, wake up. Got something to show you.
Huh? Oh, good morning. What is it, Peyton?
Well, them holes you dug last night, they just about filled up with something.
Well, let me take a look at them. Well, I'll be doggone. They sure have. Hey, looks like it's oil floating on top of some water there.
Yep, it sure is.
Hey, hand me that can there, will you?
What are you going to do?
I think I'll skim it off and take it back to Nacogdoches with us. We might be able to sell it to the general store.
Well, what did anybody use it for?
Why, I don't know. Ought to be some use for it. Chances are it'll be all right for harness oil.
This, then, was the first commercial discovery of oil in Texas. For the next 25 years, oil wells were drilled in Texas, but production was small. There was San Antonio in 1889, McLennan County in 1890. Then came the year 1894.
See, Pat, did you hear what happened to the Corsicana well?
No, I didn't, George. What was it?
Well, you knew the city is drilling an artesian well to get city water, didn't you?
Yeah, I knew they were after better water.
Well, they hit oil.
Oil? Well, I guess the city officials are pretty happy about that, aren't they?
No, they're all disappointed because they wanted water. They're about to give up. All the people for miles around have been coming down to see the oil well, and they can't seem to resist lighting matches to see if it's really oil. Managed to burn down 3 derricks already.
Well, what does the city intend to do about it?
Well, the city officials are bound and determined to get water. They're talking about casing the well to keep the oil out. Down to 2,200 feet now.
Well, what do the drilling contractors say about it?
They're about to go crazy. After losing those 3 derricks, they're almost bankrupt.
Well, maybe the city fathers want water, but sounds to me like there might be more money in the oil. Now, if we could drill just as close as possible to their well, George, we could...
Now, you don't need to say another word, Pat. I'm convinced already. You and me are heading for Corsicana.
The Corsicana strike started another flurry of drilling. 1898, the first Texas refinery. 1900, the Powell Field. And 1901, Captain Anthony F. Lucas was drilling in the Spindletop Field near Beaumont.
You better change a bit, Jack.
All right, Captain Lucas.
I think we'll have to run another section of the 4-inch pipe in, too. How deep does that make us?
About 1,160 feet. I've been noticing some oil is showing on the ditch.
Yes, I've noticed it, but I don't think it means anything. Hope we get a real show pretty soon. I still think there's oil here at Spindletop, even if our other wells don't show anything. I want to go on down until I know whether or not...
Hey, watch out, Captain! She's blowing in!
Get back out of the way, men! Stay clear of the rocks and pipe!
What do you think it is, Captain? Only gas?
No, no, there it is! That's the oil starting to come in now.
By gollies, it sure is. Why, it's spouting oil 200 feet high. Now, I guess this is the biggest oil strike Texas has ever seen.
It was a big strike. Everybody in the oil business started talking about Texas. People came by the thousands to Beaumont to make some easy money in oil. More and more oil was being produced. But the Spindletop field was not alone. Nearly every year brought the discovery of new oil fields in Texas. 1902, Hardin County. 1904, Petrolia Field in Clay County. Every year, new fields. Every year, cheaper prices. Marion County, Electra Field, Moran and Strawn and Ranger Field. 1920, with Burke Burnett and Desdemona. 1920, nearly 100 million barrels of oil. Fabulous riches earned by enterprising companies. And hanging on the fringes of the oil industry were the get-rich-quick promoters.
You know, I think there's a nice little deal that's just suited to our talents, Spike.
Let's hear about it, Harry.
It's this big oil boom down in Texas. It's about time we got in on it.
Well, how do we go about it?
Well, probably the best way is to pay somebody a few dollars for an option on some land. Doesn't make any difference where the land is or what it is, just so we get an option on it. Then we form a company and sell a lot of stock to the suckers up north.
Yeah, sounds good to me. You figure on drilling for oil, then?
Drill? What do we want to drill for? We'll get some nice gilt-edged stock certificates printed up on some fancy paper. And that'll look good to the suckers. All you need is a fast line and some fancy certificates, and you clean up. After that gold mining stock, this should be simple.
Yeah, it should be. You know, all these stories of oil strikes in the papers make good advertising for us, too. It should be easy money for a while.
Easy money? Listen, Spike, I'll bet we unload $1 million worth of phony paper before we're through.
There were many people, all right, who lost their money in oil and oil stocks. But a lot of people made money, too. More and more wells were drilled. In 1920, the Mahia field opened up. Every year or two came reports of other fields. Big Lake, Powell Field, Wortham, Howard County, Winkler, and Raccoon Bend. Sugar Lake, Van Zandt County, and Pettus. 1930, and Dad Joyner discovered the East Texas field, the biggest of them all, in Rusk County. More oil. More wells. Cheaper prices. More production. More wells. More fields. More oil. Rock bottom prices. $300 million of oil at 10 cents a barrel. The entire industry suffered. Then in 1931, Governor Ross S. Stirling took action.
Commissioner, this situation in the East Texas oil field is reaching a crisis. There's considerable unrest and even threats of blowing up the wells and pipelines.
Well, Governor, it's been the opinion of the Railroad Commission that if we could limit the amount of oil produced to the market demand, the entire situation would improve.
According to the conservation law, the commission is only authorized to prevent physical waste. I still can't see how limiting production to market demand is justified.
Well, the commission has reason to believe that oil is now being taken out of the ground too fast. The combined gas pressure and water pressure that forces the oil to the surface is dropping too rapidly. If the oil were taken from the ground more slowly, we could probably recover from half to three-quarters of it. But if we let the pressure lose force too fast, we'll probably only be able to get a quarter of it. In other words, we'll lose nearly three-quarters of the oil in the ground and we'll never be able to recover it.
Well, whether or not you're right, Commissioner, I'm going to have to do something. For the time being, I'll expect the Commission to issue orders on how much oil is to be produced. I'll be responsible myself for enforcing the orders. I'm going to order National Guard troops into East Texas and declare a state of martial law.
The East Texas field was put under martial law, and all wells there were shut down. But the United States Supreme Court said this action was illegal. Troops were withdrawn. Then for several years, the Railroad Commission tried to hold down oil production in the face of a large number of injunctions and court trials. Eventually, the governor called the legislature into a special session, and the Texas legislature added to the law the statement that the production of any more oil than could be sold on the market or than could be transported was waste. This new definition of waste gave the Railroad Commission the authority it needed to prevent the physical waste of oil. Prices increased with the controlled production, and the East Texas field, because of the stable production, continued to produce oil. Much more oil was being recovered than anyone had believed possible. Then came the year 1941. War. Oil had been used in the First World War, but in 1941, on the eve of the biggest struggle the world had ever known, oil assumed a role of tremendous importance.
General, it's going to take a lot of gasoline and oil to fight this war. With the extent to which we're mechanizing the army, we'll have to supply a lot of trucks and tanks and airplanes. We've got to figure on the Navy using a lot of oil, too. There'll soon be a terrific number of diesel-powered craft afloat.
Yes, that's right, Major. But I think the United States can supply the oil. You know, we can count on nearly 750 million barrels of oil a year from Texas alone.
Texas oil helped win the war, all right. Millions upon millions of barrels of gasoline, oil, and diesel fuel were used. The petroleum industry now holds a vital place in the economy of the state. In the old days, nearly all derricks were built of wood. Even today, wood and oil have much in common. In fact, oil may have been wood at some time in the history of the earth. It is thought that in many cases, oil may have originated from ancient forests which have been changed by the centuries through natural destructive distillation into the oil pools of today. Wood is now used in many ways to help the oil industry. Wood is used for forms for the concrete derrick and machinery foundations, for derrick flooring and for pipe racks. More wood is used for crating machinery, for piling, for offshore drilling, and for railway ties for spur tracks running to oil refineries. Wooden telephone poles carry telephone lines along oil pipelines. According to Director W.E. White of the Texas Forest Service, millions of board feet of Texas timber are used for houses for employees of the oil industry, for warehouses and office buildings, bringing an income to the timberland owners of the state. Thus, the forests of Texas work hand in hand with another Texas industry to benefit the people of the state. A constant supply of timber can build a greater Texas. This transcription has been presented by the Texas Forest Service of A&M College as a part of the public service activities of the station to which you are listening. Music was by Dwight Brown, narration by Fritz Kuhler. The production was written and directed by R. Verl Johnson.